And I'll make a wee start here. Is that you happy enough for that?
Yes, I think we haven't got Councillor Malone, Councillor Mason, Councillor Owen.
I have an apology from Councillor Mason, and I think Councillor Terry Andrews has a couple of apologies as well. So
okay.
So I'll just make a start here first, and I'll read out the rules of these hybrid meetings first of all. Can I just ask everyone to mute their microphones just when they're not talking? It just goes, there's no static. Okay, attendees in the chamber must switch off their delegate microphone when they are not speaking. Attendees in the chamber using their laptops to join the meeting virtually must ensure that they mute their laptop speakers and laptop microphone. Attendees at home must mute their laptop microphone when they are not speaking and should, where possible, use a headset, headphones or earphones. All attendees should pin the cameras of the chamber and the chair, if not physically in the chamber, in their Teams meeting by right-clicking on each and selecting pin. The meeting will be both audio and video recorded, and members to remain mindful of this during all proceedings. Instant messaging facility should be used by members to indicate if they wish to speak on an item on the agenda. Members are reminded to only use the following in IM: Q if you wish to ask a question, P if you wish to propose, and S if you wish to second. Please refrain from typing anything else into the instant messaging facility. The chairperson will invite members to speak in the order in which their message was received on the IM conversation. At this stage, you unmute your microphone to speak or click the button on the delegate microphone if you are physically in the meeting room. It is important for ease of use that only the member invited to speak by the chairperson unmutes their microphone. Otherwise, the meeting becomes unmanageable. Members accessing the meeting remotely should ensure their camera is switched on when speaking. Following the presentation of the officer's report, the chairperson will call for a proposer or seconder. This should be done using IM feature. Please do not submit these until asked to do so, as it may be missed. If two members ask to propose, the first member having indicated through IM will become the proposer, and the second member having indicated will become the seconder. The chairperson will ask the proposer and seconder in turn to unmute to indicate vocally that they are proposing and seconding the decision. During a show of hands vote, members should indicate whether they are for, against or abstaining using the IM feature. The totals will be tallied and the Democratic Services Manager will read them out for the purposes of the recording. During a recorded vote, the Democratic Services Manager will read the names of the committee members in alphabetical order. Members should respond for, against or abstain when their name is read out. Members accessing the meeting remotely should ensure their camera is switched on when voting. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate via IM feature so that we are aware this is an active decision and does not indicate connectivity problems. Members are reminded of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct. Okay. Hi everyone. You're welcome to this pre-Christmas meeting. I'm sure you'll be glad to get the break. So we'll just make a start here with apologies. I had an apology from Councillor Mason. Was there any other apologies there tonight?
Chairperson, I have apologies and from Councillor Gary Stokes and Councillor Karen McEvitt.
Yeah, thanks, Councillor Andrews. That must be it.
Chair, yeah, I'm not aware of any other apologies.
Thanks, Johnny. Is there any declarations of conflicts of interest?
None.
No. Okay, so we'll move on to the action sheet of the Neighbourhood Services meeting on Tuesday the 17th of November. I'll just take each page for accuracy. So page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6 and page 7. Were there any matters arising from the action sheet? Nope. Okay, we'll move on to item 4.
Sorry, Chair, just need a proposer and seconder for the action sheet, if I can, please.
Can I get... Thanks, Councillor Andrews. Can I get a seconder there, please? And thanks, Councillor Owen. Okay, we move on to item 4, which is the report on permitting sale of double plots at councils, municipal cemeteries suspended at onset of the COVID-19 pandemic. Kevin Scullion is going to talk us through this one.
Thanks, Chair. So the council does operate five municipal cemeteries across the district, and we accommodate about 15% of all burials in the council area each year, with the remaining burials being undertaken in church-owned cemeteries or indeed cremations. As most of the committee members will be aware, in March 2020, the council, at the onset of the COVID-19, amended its rules and regulations, which govern how we operate our cemeteries, to prohibit the sale of double plots. And the reason for that was to preserve space within its municipal cemeteries. We're now, 9 months on, Chair, and families affected by this ruling are contacting us, seeking to procure the plot adjacent to the plot that they have acquired, so that they can erect a headstone on their plot. They wish to put a double-sized headstone, so at the moment, only having a single-sized plot, they're not able to do that. As we were going through the process, Chair, we did save the plot next to those families that indicated that they eventually wanted to have a double plot, so we still had the scope to go back on that. This was raised at last month's Neighbourhood Services Committee, and we were asked to look at this again to see whether the time was now right for this decision to be reconsidered. We've carried out an analysis of the number of burials which have taken place in the council's municipal cemeteries during the first 8 months of this pandemic, which was March, November this year, and compared that with the same time in 2019. This analysis shows that between 2019 and 2020, the same time periods, there was an extra 9 burials across the 5 municipal cemeteries, so not a significant increase in terms of from 1 year to the next, which is a positive sign in terms of there hasn't been a significant increase in demand for burial space within our cemeteries during the pandemic. So given that, Chair, that there hasn't been that significant demand, we feel as officers that the time is now right to rescind that previous prohibition and to allow us now to go back to the sale of double plots going forward, but also give us the opportunity to look back on those families who've been affected by that ruling and who have expressed an interest in purchasing the plot next to the one that they've got the burial rights for. And if the committee is agreeable to that, then we would start a process in January of offering the second plot to those families concerned so that they can go ahead with their plans to erect a double headstone as opposed to a single headstone. Chair.
Thanks very much for that, Kevin. I see we have a question in there from Councillor Casey. I'll take a question first.
Thanks very much, Chair. Kevin, that's a good idea. I'm glad the council have decided and the wisdom to over or rescind that particular motion at the very start, because a lot of us councillors, and I suppose in all the graveyards that are owned by council, have been petitioned by people willing to have a double plot and to allow them to put a double headstone on it. So, and I know they will be governed by the regulation size, and we need to make that clear from the outset going forward from today's if it's in total agreement by the council, we need to make sure that the grave of the headstones are uniform, if that's at all possible. So a good idea. I'm glad the council have shown a bit of wisdom here. Thanks very much, Chair. Thanks, Kevin.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Casey. An item has been proposed by Councillor Andrews. And Councillor Casey, are you happy enough to second that? Thank you. Can you, Councillor Casey, can you just speak for the tape?
Yes, happy enough to second that, Chair.
Thank you.
And Chairperson, I'm only too happy to propose that the recommendations are adopted. I think it'll mean so much to a lot of the families who've been affected, and again to officers for sympathetic handling of this issue. Thank you.
Yeah, apologies. I see Councillor Owen is just in there with a question on that.
Well, thanks very much, Chair. It's actually more just a bit like Charlie. It's something that I have been contacted a couple of times about. Was a man who'd lost his son and wanted to be able to secure the plot beside him. It was quite an emotional conversation. So, and one I'd spoken to about before. So listen, thanks very much for that, and I'm glad we're all on the same page as far as agreeing for that. So thanks very much.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Owen. Okay, if everyone's happy enough, we move on to item 5, which is the update on enforcement improvement plan for benchmarking, and Joe Parks is going to come in on that one.
Thank you, Chair. As I say, the purpose of this report is to provide the committee with benchmarking information related to the enforcement activities within the 11 local councils. This holder request made by the Neighbourhood Service Committee on the 19th of August. The Council Enforcement Improvement Plan agreed a staffing improvement plan to increase enforcement resources to 4 full-time staff, assisted by 2 seasonal staff in June to September. Unfortunately, due to the COVID, winter of staff was delayed, and we now have it that we've now got our 4 permanent staff to have started in early November, but that has meant that there's been we've been understaffed for the last year of about 40%. Contact has been made to the other local councils to identify any other initiatives to increase awareness of littering and issuing of fixed penalty notices. Councillors will be aware of the specialist private contractors have been used to assist in targeting of litter black spots and servicing of fixed penalty notices, and that was really to do with Ards and North Down. There's also currently 3 other councils who are also looking at that, Derry, Strabane, ABC and Antrim, Newton Abbey. The number of fixed penalty notices issued by local councils has been benchmarked by Keep Northern Ireland Beautiful. Information to this has been created in Appendix 2. The key areas of comparisons are identified as the local government audit and management system, and that's really your street cleansing index, and also the number of fixed penalty notices issued by enforcement officers. So you'll find that for Newry, Moreland, Down, during 17-18 period, 73 fixed penalty notices, 18 to 19 was 59, and 19 to 20 was 84. As part of the benchmark review, comparisons have also been made in relation to the number of paid fixed penalty notices, the number of staff as the full-time equivalent, and also the number of fixed penalty notices per staff member. There is a chart there just giving just which each council has. Now, there's a number of councils we were still waiting for return. In general, what it does show is that, say, for Ards and North Down, by the engagement of external dedicated private contractors, the assessment of the assignment of staff as litter wardens and targeting outreach at hotspot areas, it will help to contribute to fixed penalty notices being issued. So if you look there, you know, Ards and North Down at 437 fixed penalty notices with about 7 staff, and that was about 62 fixed penalty notices per staff member. However, that is on one side of it. If you actually then look at Mid Ulster, they actually have a good street cleansing score of 70%. However, they have only got something like, it has 14 or about, it's actually 13 fixed penalty notices for the period 19-20. The key issues, Chair, is that general benchmarking information should be used to help improve enforcement best practice within the council. The Council Enforcement Improvement Plan can now be moved forward now that the permanent staff have been established, and this resource will also help address enforcement requirements for littering and dog fouling, resulting in increased fixed penalty notices. Currently, the 3 other councils are committed in trial periods already in operation or are at the implementation stage in relation to the engagement of specialist contractors. It would be prudent of the council to primarily focus on developing its present enforcement resources, but they also monitor these councils as possible future models. The recommendation, Chair, is that members are asked to note the content of the report with further information to be provided as part of the council's enforcement improvement plan. I'll take any questions.
Okay, thanks for that, Joe. We had a question in there first from Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chair. And first of all, Joe, thank you very much for the presentation of the report. And as elected reps, and we're all approached almost on a daily basis about the dog fouling and littering problems that are going on across the district. And I do welcome the news that we're getting 4 permanent staff onto the streets to try and deal with the problem. I'm just wondering as well that, you know, with the 4 new recruits that we have, that if there was any other funding streams or any other funding at finance could be tapped into to maybe recruit more, the more presence that we have, the public will be getting the message out there that the council are serious of dealing with our problems at the moment. And again, thank you very much, Joe.
Chair, good to answer that one. Just to note here, it was actually where we have, it's 4 full-time equivalent staff, and then we're allowed 2 additional staff during the summer period. What the difference had been was that we were down 2 staff that took a period of time to actually bring these people on board. So I'm glad to say we now have our establishment level. Funding, it is something that we need to look at. And as I say, some of the other councils have actually used the state specialist contractors on there. However, you do have to remember that that does cost money to do. And sometimes when you actually go to take it to court, there's additional expenses there. So that's kind of, for me, what we want to do is look, we'll focus now. We've got the additional staff there. We are now going to try and improve our fixed penalty notices. And really, the other thing we'll be doing is keeping a check on those councils that are using additional staff to see whether that covers costs, etc.
Thanks so much for that, Joe. I very much appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Councillor Clark, have you a question there?
Thanks very much, Chair, and thanks for the report. A few points I'd like to make, probably is in regards to the public are generally more at home and they're generally more using our parks now. So I think there's an opportunity for the council, you know, to roll out the next phase of our enforcement improvement strategy, you know, by doing social media in regards to dog fouling, making people aware, being out in our parks. I think we should have, you know, a greater presence. And I'm not even talking about enforcement officers. I'm talking about if there's a possibility of officers who, you know, have the necessary skill sets as to be like almost like ambassadors to be out in their parks in high vis talking to the public, not about issuing enforcement notices, just to be there to explain what the council are doing, talking to pet owners. I think there may be an opportunity. Some staff are furloughed, you know, particularly leisure, and if there was an interest from many members of staff maybe to get involved in some sort of approach in regards to this, might be worthwhile doing, you know, having a look at. In regards to, I'd be interested where we're at in our strategy and what phase, you know, it was a two-pronged strategy. So just in regards to marketing, in regards to, you know, getting our message out there, there was a number of actions in the strategy, you know, so just to be interested in what stage we're at and how we're going to maximise, I think, the opportunity we have. People are looking at social media and they are on their computers and stuff, and also in our parks. So I think it's a good opportunity to get our message out to the public. In regards, I suppose, I'll follow in the Blitz and Lakes Lodge and North Down. Is there any data that the situation has improved in them areas? Is there any information from all the other councils, you know, following a quick blitz, and did it improve the situation, or did people then lapse back into their old ways? All right, thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Councillor Clark. Joe, do you want to come back on that one and then we'll take any questions?
Yes, certainly, Chair. Certainly, I take on board what Councillor Clark has said. Certainly, we can have a look at the various parks that we have, and dare I say, make sure that there's trolls in there. In relation to the social media, I do agree. We do need to try and push that part forward as well. The idea of additional staff, if we've been furloughed again, we are actually looking at trying to bring in those staff, maybe even into the waste end of things. I haven't been too successful in that, but this is something, again, that we can maybe do while we've got the COVID pandemic. In relation to the actual enforcement improvement plan, what you'll probably find is in the next couple of months we will give another update on that, just to let you see if there is the traffic light system on it. So again, those points that Councillor Clark has brought up, hopefully we will start to address them, or we will be addressing them as part of the improvement plan. In relation to Orange and North Down, I think there has been an improvement maybe in the area, but I think it's the old favourite again to go back to Mid-Ulster. You know, they didn't actually use a lot of enforcement officers, and yet they have a good cleansing index there. And so it's always interesting to see what's the best way to approach it, and that's why I would still go back to look. We were under-resourced there for a while there through no fault of our own, just trying to get people in to do this particular job. We've now established the four enforcement officers, and certainly you'd actually found that Newcastle and Old Council of Hartsville and that area, we were actually down officers there. So again, now we will have those people to actually patrol in around those areas. So as I say, the main thing is that we will move things forward. And you should see a positive response from.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. John, are you looking to come in there now?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Maybe just to respond to Councillor Clark's query about Orange and North Down in more detail. Members may recall the workshop we had some time ago where we brought down Dr. Ian Humphreys from Keep NI Beautiful, and the same question was asked of himself. Now, if I recall correctly, he was of the view that blitzes do work, but they're not the be-all and end-all. And what a lot of local authorities experienced was after the blitz, the performance dipped again in those areas. So I think moving forward, Chair, what we have as an enforcement improvement plan gives us a framework to sustain improvement. And I absolutely welcome the fact we're back to full strength on the staffing side, because that will help us in a significant way to improve our performance in this area. I was about to say, Roland, to beg your pardon, Joe said that there were other councils had started to look at bringing in some external contractors to do a type of blitz. I think there's an opportunity for us to learn from that. And maybe as part of an update on this improvement plan, we will also bring back the experiences of those councils in relation to that, again, to help inform what we might do better moving forward. Thank you.
That's great, Johnny. Thank you. We had a final question in there from Councillor McKee.
Yes, thanks, Chair, and thanks for the report, Joe. In relation to Cranfield car park there, as you know, Amercam Lane has double yellow lines on either side, and there's really no parking anywhere else in Amercam Lane, with the exception of the council car park. So I had an inquiry during the week there about the park being closed. Now, I'm not too sure whether they meant the park was closed because of the COVID, or I think this lady said the car park was closed during the winter time. Is that right or wrong, Joe? Because I know there's great, there used to be you could have parked anywhere out there, but now it's not really the case. And because there's so many people in relation to COVID using the park, and obviously they need a car park. So maybe you could just fill me in there, Joe, a wee bit on that. Thanks.
Sorry, Joe, I just come in on that one. It's not really relating to parking enforcement, this item, so I'll let you come in on it, Joe, but it's not really relating to the actual item.
Chair, all I was going to say is that I'll certainly check that out, and I'll get back to the councillor on that matter.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, see, we have a proposal and a seconder in there from a proposal from Councillor Clark and seconded by Councillor Andrews, and that item was just for noting. Okay, we move on to item 6, which is the letter from the NIEA regarding the landfill alliance scheme. Johnny, were you going to talk on that one?
No, Chair, that was Joe's going to take that item.
Sorry, thank you. Joe, do you want to come in on that
Yes, sir. A bit of a time lag on my camera and on the speaker. Again, this is the Northern Ireland Landfill Alliance Scheme, and this is just basically where councils are only allowed to ship a certain amount into landfill each year. Now, because of for our own council, we would actually take our energy from waste. This is RDF. We are meeting the set requirements. So again, this letter is just confirming that we are meeting up those targets. So we'll take that. It's for noting, but certainly if there's any questions on that, I'll take them, sir.
Thanks, Joe. I don't see any questions in there, Joe. So, oh, here we go, Councillor Andrews.
Just first of all, thanks very much, Chair, and Joe. I'd like to say well, that letter is a welcome letter, and it's good news for the council that we're doing everything that we are as part of the recycling process. So to all involved, and to the residents of the district and the recycling in the ways of recycling, they deserve a pat on the back too, and to everybody who's making this success. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Andrews. We move on to item 7, which is the ARC21 JSC members' monthly bulletin of the 1st of December 2020. And Joe, you're coming in on this again.
Yes, Chair. Again, these are just really for noting. So each month, ARC21 does a members' monthly bulletin. So again, that's just to give the councillors an idea of what's happening within ARC21. So again, it's for noting. So if there's any questions, sir.
Okay, we have a question in there from Councillor McKee. Joe? Okay. Arl, you're on mute.
That's a disaster, talking to myself. I raised that the Chief Executive, who's the best speaker on these waste issues, and he has told me today that he's coming in February. Do you know, I think it was to Johnny this is, Johnny, you know which meeting that they would be coming to speak at? Is it an NS or is it a special meeting?
I do, Chair, know the Chief Executive of ARC21 will be coming to our regular Neighbourhood Services Committee meeting in February. I had previously discussed that with him.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Don't see any more questions in there, so we move on to item 8. And it's for noting as well, it's the ARC21 Jesse meeting minutes held on Thursday, the 29th of October 2020. And Joe, are you going to say a couple of words on that?
Sure, again, this is the, as you say, it's the ARC21 Joint Committee meeting. Again, you would have found that a number of our councillors actually sit on that. And again, there's not, again, it's just on it. So again, if there's any queries, I'll do my best to answer.
Okay, thanks, Joe. I don't see any questions in there on that. So we move on to item 9, which is the Neighbourhood Services Historic Actions Tracking Sheet. I'll just take each page for accuracy. So page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Have we any issues arising out of the historic action sheet? No. Okay, thanks very much. So we'll move on to, sorry. Well, Councillor McKay, have you a question there on that?
I was a wee bit slow getting in there. There was two or three things there in relation to, forgetting which page one, I think it is, in relation to the defective wall in Newcastle along the river. I have noticed myself it's certainly well pushed out. I'd just like a wee bit of an update on that one. And in relation to page 14, the extension of the Christmas lights in Newcastle Harbour. They were to speak to commissioners there. I'm not sure what the outcome of that was. And page 18, the cost to replace the 13 vans was mentioned. I think that's all. Yeah, those three questions. So whoever's able to answer those, thank you.
Sure. I'll take the first two.
Okay, thanks, Kevin.
And I'll take the last one, sure.
Thanks.
So in terms of the wall at Chimna, we were in negotiations with the Rivers Agency as we considered that works were going to be required within the river itself, and that would require a consent from the Rivers Agency. Subsequently, our own internal estates skills believe that there is a solution to this which would not involve entering into the water course, that the solution could be achieved from work on the land itself and therefore would not require consent from Rivers Agency. So we're finalising our view on that. that would be a lower cost option than having to work within the river itself. And if that is the case, then we would hope to proceed with that in the early part of the new year. In terms of the second item, which was to do with the extension of the Christmas illuminations along the Newcastle pier at the harbour, it was agreed that we would do that, provided it was in keeping with the view of the Irish Commissioner of Lights, which sort of would be the governing body in terms of navigational aids, because we have a navigational aid at the end of that pier, and the idea was that we already have lights along the lampposts along the pier, and we're going to extend it to join up with the navigational aids, and it was their view that that would not be the prudent or right thing to do, so we did not proceed with that, but we still have the lights along the harbour. They're a bit temperamental, perhaps because of the sea environment, so they do trip out from time to time, and we have to go out and try and rectify that whenever that happens, Chair.
Yeah, thank you, Gavin. You happy enough, Councillor McKee?
Yes, thank you. Just, I still believe, you know, I know what they're saying, but like Newcastle Harbour is not a safe harbour to enter, particularly in bad weather. And I always find that because of the shortage of the lights not continuing on, you should be mistaken for the length of the pier. But obviously the boats must see that pier illuminated thing, and it's okay. So, I mean, they know better than I do. So thanks very much. Thank you, Gavin. Thanks for that.
Councillor Clark?
Yeah, Chair. I'd just like to thank the Office of Cabin for, you know, the work at Newcastle Harbour, the Christmas tree and the lights. Greatly appreciated. In regards to the household recycling centres update, I'm not sure what page it is, Chair, but it's just in regards. I've had a number of queries. Obviously, there's a number of private operators who man with a van, or it could be a woman with a van as well, who are keen to get permits for our household recycling centre. That was part of our review, that we would introduce permits. So there's at least four people who are in this line of business have contacted me in regards to this. So I think there's a real need for this, because particularly in regards to the floods in Newcastle and stuff, there's a lot of people who brought these private guys in alongside the council's support as well. So if I can get an update in regards to where we're at in that, and obviously, as I said, there's a great need. If people don't have cars, that this service is a requirement for residents.
Yeah, thanks, Councillor Clark. I think Councillor McKee was going along
yes.
those lines too in the van. So answer them now, Joe, and I'll take the rest of the questions after.
Okay. I think, Chair, first of all, I think Councillor McKee's was about the purchase of the 13 vans that was to do with the greener fleet. I say we were looking at replacing those vehicles, but again, the notice of motion and for ourselves, even at the fleet transition strategy, we're trying to look at alternative fuels. So what we should find is that will come back to the committee in January. And again, for ourselves, looking for alternative fuels from diesel. You know, the easy one is petrol. However, we will be looking at hybrid and also electric vans as well. So you will see that coming back to committee in January, I say, and more steered towards a greener fleet and lower emissions. So that answers that particular one. In relation to the household recycling centres, yes, we do have that where we are looking at a permit system, where we can allow commercial customers into household recycling centres. However, I hate to say that with COVID, as you're aware, the sites closed down. We have been able to open the 10 sites again. We're working really Monday to Friday from 10 to 3:45, which has had certain restrictions. Now, hopefully what you should find in the new year, we should be able to move that permit system forward. It was going to be a paper documentation type thing where somebody would pay for a permit and then they could go to the site for a set fee for a certain time, etc. I think, dare I say, we just might have to rethink that because of the documentation involved, but certainly we will be pushing ahead with that in the early new year.
That's welcome news. I think we probably should maybe look at registration now, you know, getting people signed up to or expressions of interest, at least to gauge, you know, what's the demand out there. I think we should be doing that as quickly as possible in the new year. And I suppose the system, whatever system we have, it could be vehicle plate recognition or whatever, you know, moving forward, or some sort of fob or something, you know. The simpler, the better, probably. Thanks.
Thanks, Councillor Clark. Councillor Andrews, do you have a question?
I have indeed, Chair. Thank you very much. In relation, as for Kevin, in relation to the public convenience strategy, the consultation, I'm just wondering how the consultation exercise is going on, and when do we expect it to be brought back to the committee for review and initiation. And I know on several occasions in the committee that did raise about the poor Christmas tree at Cross Gar, which was almost decapitated within days of it being first planted. And I'm glad to report that it has been replaced and replanted, and it looks a whole lot better. And to thanks to Kevin and all for dealing with that as well. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Andrews. Councillor Owen, had you a question?
Yeah, thanks very much. It is. It's just on the public convenience. I'm just trying to figure out. I think it's page 4. Kevin, just wondering where we are with that. It's sort of been raised since February, and my understanding is that, you know, the last thing was sort of middle to the end of the summer, where we're just waiting on a lot. So just sort of wondering what the score is or the hold up is with that as far as getting them open. Thank you.
Sure. In terms of the consultation on the draft public toilet strategy for the council, it's out at the moment, and there's an online survey which everyone can complete, which to give a views on the recommendations within the strategy, but also any other comments that people wish to make. That consultation ends on the 12th of February next year, and that'll be a 12-week period. Following that, there will be analysis of the information that we gleaned from that, and then it'll be a matter of bringing that back to this Neighbourhood Services Committee for a final drafting of the strategy, a final approval of the strategy, taking on board the feedback from the consultation. So, with a fair wind, I would hope that we will have the strategy in place before the end of March, April, depending on what sort of analysis we need to do with the consultation. In terms of the Saintfield public toilet, the committee will be aware that not all our public toilets are open at the moment. There's 6-7 that we haven't opened due to limitations on our resources. If we're opening the toilets, we need to be confident that we can provide the level of service that will maintain them at a high enough hygiene level that will give us confidence. And currently we don't have that confidence to do that for all the toilets. This committee made decisions in terms of which ones we'd keep open. Saintfield was not among that. But again, the committee and the council will be aware of the vandalism that particular toilet suffers from. Previously this committee agreed that we would spend further money on the toilet to bring it up to a standard that we could open it and then open it. And in the intervening period, we had the COVID-19 situation. So my understanding is the toilet is ready to be opened. The repairs have been completed, but it hasn't been opened because we as a council have not made a decision to open the remaining toilets there to take us back up to our complement of 31 public toilets. And the main reason for that is that we don't currently have the resources to commit to keep the standard of hygiene in all of the toilets to the level. We have enough resources to keep those that we have opened to that level, but to extend ourselves further at this moment in time, we just don't have that confidence to do that.
Okay. Thank you, Kevin. Okay, so I don't see any more questions in there. Item 9 was just for noting, so we'll move on to items 10 to 14. Okay, so items 10 to 14 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the councillor holding that information, and by the public, may by resolution be excluded during these items of business. Could I get a proposer and seconder to go into closed session, please? Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Can I get a seconder? And Councillor Owen, thank you. Let me know when everyone's back.
Yeah, I sent a wee link to the media just a few minutes ago, so they've had plenty of time, but nobody's come back in and recording started again.
Okay, no problem. Okay, so we'll just go through the in-committee items. Item 10, the ARC21 Joint Committee meeting minutes held on Thursday, the 29th of October 2021. It was agreed to note the ARC21 Joint Committee meeting minutes held on Thursday, the 29th of October 2021. Item 11 was the report on Neighbourhood Services Directorate Procurement Action Plan update. On the proposal of Councillor McKee, seconded by Councillor Murphy, it was agreed to approve the progress update report for this period 1st of September to 30th of November 2020. Item 12 was the strategic waste management arrangements. On a proposal of Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor Casey, it was agreed to move to the next stage of the process by agreeing to a full economic appraisal being undertaken in respect of the top three options identified in the Strategic Investment Board report, and to agree to this council making a financial contribution of £3,600 towards the cost of the full economic appraisal, the total cost of £39,600 to be shared equally among all 11 councils. Item 13 was the business case for pest control services across council facilities. On the proposal of Councillor Clark, seconded by Councillor Andrews, it was agreed to accept the findings of the business case presented at Appendix 1 of this report. This would see the council appoint, through a tender process or framework, a suitably competent pest control operator to provide both planned and reactive pest control service for all council facilities over a 3-year period or up to a maximum value of £90,000. It was also agreed that the Director of Neighbourhood Services will speak to the Director of Active and Healthy Communities about the potential for the reintroduction of a pest control service for the public. Item 14 was the maintenance of Council Public Space CCTV. On the proposal of Councillor Clark, seconded by Councillor Murphy, it was agreed to note the content of the report and approve the recommendations as detailed in section 1.6 of the report. It was also agreed to write to the Justice Minister at Stormont on the maintenance of Council Public Space CCTV. I think that's us, folks. Thanks very much for attending. Just like to wish you all a very happy Christmas and a happy new year. And we'll see you at the next meeting in January. So mind yourselves.
Thank you very much, Chair. And greetings to everybody. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.